Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 826. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-hosts of the show, we have Paris and Pete. What's going on, guys?
Hey, good morning, Danny. How are you? Good morning, Pete. Division 2 Talk Radio, right? Is that what we're doing?
Division Talk Radio. That's all you got to call it. That's it. It's a good time. It's a good time to be alive and a division agent.
Yeah, definitely, man. So we're going to be talking about the Division 2 Dark Zone. For those that haven't listened to the episode yet, make sure to download our previous episode where we interviewed the developers of the game. It's like a good 32 minutes or so. Great interview. Lot of new information there. Make sure to check it out. Also, Paris also released, I believe, like a hands-on impression video version. It just came out on YouTube. Also, we aired it on Twitch. And you also could check out our different gameplay footage from our point of view. It's also available on Twitch, so make sure to check it out.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
But first, let's start with our roundtable discussion, man, about the Division 2 hands-on, man, the Dark Zone. What are your thoughts about it, guys? Let's start from there.
Pete, would you like to kick it off?
Sure, I'll just kick it off. For those that haven't been paying attention, Twitter and the gaming industry over the last couple of days has exploded as we were finally able to talk about the Division 2, the three of us, along with many other I will call them division agents, here and abroad, got to visit Red Storm Entertainment and Massive up in Sweden, and had exclusive hands-on time with the Division 2 PvP and Dark Zone. So we got, you know, we had a phenomenal time up there. Thanks to Ubisoft for inviting us and everybody else out to the respective studios. Man, I'm just going to jump right in. You guys have known it. I've been saying it for 3+ years now. I've been a super fan of The Division and looking forward to everything that they do. And it feels just like The Division with all of the other improvements. I'm so stoked. I'm so excited. I'm happy that Paris has jumped into The Division as much as he has. I know he was hypercritical at the beginning, deservedly so, because they did have an issue with some endgame content. But I'm glad to see that he has given it a second chance, and I'm also happy that Ubisoft has, as they have with most of their titles, stuck with it and listened to the community and made the necessary changes and add-ons to make The Division what you see today. I'm excited to see and hear what else Ubisoft, Red Storm Entertainment, and Massive have in store for us. I know there's going to be other things that are going on, but man, it's a good time to be a division agent, dude.
Yeah, I would agree. It's funny, and I've told the story many times at this point that, you know, wasn't a fan, obviously, of it, of the original Division when it first came out, but since the 1.8 update, I've really been enjoying the content. And then what we've got to play at Red Storm and just the three different Dark Zones and just the kind of way that they're explaining, you know, how that's going to work. And then there's going to be the Occupied Dark Zone, which is basically the in-game Dark Zone, but it'll rotate between the three different Dark Zones, which is what East, West, and South. And what the Occupied Dark Zone means is basically all your weapons, gear, skills, perks, everything will matter. It will be the Wild Wild West when you're in the Occupied Dark Zone versus the quote-unquote normal Dark Zones, which they're using the term normalize, which all that really means is even if you roll in there with really high-level gear or you roll in there with really low-level gear, you're going to be able to compete. They're not going to completely nerf the high level gear, but they're just going to give the low level gear players, and it, you know, they're going to allow them to just compete while they're in there playing, right? Which is all you can ask for. And I like the honesty of them saying, hey, maybe it doesn't work. We don't know. This is going to be an ongoing conversation, and they'll be tweaking and getting feedback from the community on how that works. I will fully admit, I do have pause on that, in that I do wonder for the high level players, once we've reached the level cap, once we're in the end game, if we're going into the normal dark zones and it's quote unquote normalized, and I'm getting destroyed, I'm not gonna say destroyed, but I'm going up against low level characters, will I really want to do that? Or will I want to have all the gear and the perks and everything that I've acquired to matter? So I'm only going to be in the optimized darks. Yeah. The optimized. No. What am I saying? What is it called again? I'm old. Now I'm forgetting. What is the end game dark zone called? Is it optimized? I forget.
I can't.
Anyways, yeah. Yeah. I'm old. I know what you Sorry. Mean. But the point of it, the end game dark zone, the occupied dark zone, I'm saying optimized. What the hell am I saying?
There you go.
But am I only going to want to be in the occupied dark zone, you know, the entire time? Or will there be any incentive for me to want to go back to the normal dark zones? That's kind of the question I have. And if I had another nitpick, which again, it was fine when we were playing it at the event, only being 12 players in the dark zone. Am I going to feel that while we're playing? I don't know. It was fine when we're at the event. It was no issues. But let's see how that works when it's out in the wild. And will the matchmaking keep rotating in new players as people are dropping out, etc.? So we'll see. We'll see. But I will say, just playing the game, had absolute blast with it. I really enjoyed it.
So the player count, I think I'm okay with, because if you try to compare it to the original Dark Zone, it was such a massive space that you needed to have that 24 player experience. These are smaller, more contained zones. So the 12 players, while up front it sounds smaller, when you're in a much smaller space, 12 players is almost a lot. You know what I mean? So you just think it's going to be the PvE component, because it's the PvPvE experience that they're trying to push. But you've got 8 other players, whether they're, you know, 2 sets of 4 or whatever, you know, mathematical, you know, split up you want to think of there. As far as, you know, the normalized versus, was it occupied zones, you said, I think is what it's called. I'm okay with it because they're giving us the best of both worlds. One thing that I noticed, like, for example, for you, Paris, you've been critical of Bungie, where they've back and forth, they've, you know, they've catered to, you know, they've catered to the casuals, Danny. And then, you know, casual, they should be,
go ahead.
They should be catering to the hardcore. And like, how do you mix and match that? And I think this is a really good way for you to appease both sides. You're giving the higher loot driven experience, the harder experience, the one that's dedicated for those people who literally have Division gear at home because, you know, we're tryhards in that experience, right? We like everything that the Division has to offer. We want that upper level experience. And then you've got, you know, the casuals who want to pop in, pop out. They maybe don't have the time, excuse me, to devote to the Division. You know, they don't have the 8 or 10 hours to be able to devote to the Division on a daily basis or a weekly basis. So they just want to drop in. And I think it was Terry that said this exact same quote in the videos or in the interview. Do you know, they may not have that amount of time to be able to play the game. So that's where the regular or the normalized dark zone comes into play. And it's, you know, I think it's a good mixing of both.
I know you mentioned about the whole 12 players in the dark zone. I think that amount of players is fine. Like, what is the point of having so many players if the game is not working right? You know, I think that's fine. Another thing too is, you know, sometimes I like to play by myself in the dark zone. So I'm wondering how that's going to be, because previously, the first game, I was having a lot of issues that you see this always a big squad always attacking me by myself, you know. And I know they say that this time they're going to have matchmaking for solo players too. So I hope that works out. But I think overall, man, like 12 players, I think it's fine, man. I don't have an issue with it. But the part that I like I said, that I'm a little bit worried is I hope matchmaking works, because I don't want to go to the Dark Zone by myself and then get always a bunch of squad crews there attacking me every time when I get there, you know? So I just want that balance, you know, for solo players too.
And that's where my concern comes. And again, this is the tiniest of tiny nitpicks. I'm not trying to spew, you know, say this as a negative. Is with it being 12 players, how is the matchmaking going to work, you know, as far as getting, because, you know, so people are going to want to go in solo, you're going to have full squads going, et cetera, keeping that rotation going so that I'm consistently having 10 to 12 players in my Dark Zone session at any one time. Because, look, you guys, when we were playing, we could have stayed in there for hours in just the session we were in, just hitting landmarks, you know, going rogue, going mercenary, doing extractions. There's so many things that we could have done while we were in there that we would not have left the Dark Zone at all. So again, we'll see at launch. We'll see how it works. And I'm obviously hopeful. And like I said, while we were playing, it was fine. It was fun, but we were in a controlled environment at a press event. Let's see how it works once the beta comes out. And then obviously when the final game comes out March 15th, and then sticking with solo players, another concern that I would have, because I'm just kind of projecting to the end game, I'm Dr. Strange, I got the time stone. When we are solo, when we're in the optimized Dark Zone, I wonder if that's going to be a fun experience as a solo player, or to go into that optimized Dark Zone, you're going to need to be squatted up at all times. Because think about it, you're going to be running into high level characters with optimized gear all the time. That is all you're going to be running into. And as a solo player, the potential of getting griefed is going to be there. And let me get my other negative out of the way so I can talk all positive stuff from here on out. My other thing would be the fact that they've mentioned that they are turning off voice chat, VoIP, within when you're engaged with another PvP player. You're not going to get that anymore. I'm of two minds of it. I understand why they're doing it, and I'm fine with them having that option, but I wish it was just an option. I wish that if I want to talk to another player that I've engaged with on the PvP side, we both have the option to flip a switch and turn on VoIP. Because look, I'm 45, I'm grown, I can handle toxic comments. So, but there's more positive that comes out of the negative when you're be able to engage with another PvP player, where there's been some hilarious moments. Like Pete, I think you remember there was one time where we were doing an extraction in a division, the original one, and just the comedy of engaging with these other PvP players was hilarious. And look, I get the other side. You're going to hear racist remarks. You're going to hear sexist remarks. You know, I wouldn't want my son exposed to things like that. So I understand turning it off, but I just wish they had the option to turn it on and allow me to make the choice if I want to hear it or not. That's it.
Yeah, I saw the commentary between you and Drew yesterday on Twitter. Drew, aka LikeButter9 on socials, he was actually our fire team partner at the event in Red Storm. And I'm cool that it automatically turns off, but I guess I agree with you that I wish it was more of a player option before that. Like, turn it off completely if you just don't want to deal with it, or turn it on by default and let players turn it off by choice. And then when it gets into the extreme engagement or whatever, I guess you or make that an option as well. Make that the third option. Do you want it to have the system automatically turn it off so you don't have to stop in the middle of playing and make that change? I see both sides of the argument. It's just it's choice at this point, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know what that I loved from Halo 2? Once you're playing multiplayer and the other team is a little bit closer to you, that's when you start hearing their voices. I like that.
Yeah, proximity chat.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So they should add that in the game too. But yeah, let's go ahead. What are your thoughts about just the level design? Do you feel like it was it felt open compared to the previous game? Like, how do you... How was your reaction when it comes to that?
I thought it was fantastic. And shameless plug, if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see a gameplay video that I put out where I did some extent, like we were doing, we went mercenary and we had Manhunt gun. Yeah, did I say mercenary? I'm old. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know why I'm saying these crazy things. But anyways, Manhunt. We went Manhunt And I did an extended just session of that where you see us just maneuvering through the environment. And you watch that. It's fantastic because it's very vertical. Number one, where we're scaling up, we're scaling down, going to things. And then as you look in the background, you're seeing various landmarks of Washington, D.C., like the Capitol building, obviously, is a standout in that scenario. But we're in this post-division world of Washington, D.C. So it is a real place that we're in. But, you know, it's been changed now because we're in a division and all that. And I just thought it was fantastic. I just thought the layout was really, really good.
Yeah, one of the things I remember, the comment from, like, I can't remember if it was Danny or Paris when we were playing. It was like, wow, it looks this good. And we were playing on Xbox One X dev units. And somebody was like, yeah, I can't wait to see what this looks like on PC. It's going to be insane. And it's true. Sorry, I had to cough. But man, I don't know if we were getting the full asset experience, right? Because when you go to events like that or you're playing alphas or betas prior to launch, you don't typically get the full, you know, the full graphics package. They usually pull some stuff out to try to help make sure that the performance is on par with what they're trying to, you know, the narrative that they're trying to push out. Man, let me tell you. Having seen the PC specs, and they're saying that if you want to play a 4K 60, you need to have a 2080. I'm looking at it right now.
No, you don't, because you can get a 1080 Ti. It's the same damn card.
No, well, I'm sorry. It says 2080 Ti. Sorry.
No, it says 2080. I thought it said 2080. Anyways, continue. Continue.
Yeah, for the 4K 60 frames per second experience, it says you need to have a 2080 Ti with an i9-7900. I've had the thought come by where I've looked at the wall and I've been like, it's okay. I'll wait. But if it's made me pause and think about it, yeah, I've had to worry. That means it looks that good.
Yeah, you know what part that I really like too, and this happened to Paris. So for some reason, Paris disappeared. He went away from us. And then he was like, oh, man, I got killed. And we were like, how'd that happen? Thing was, he was, I think, closer to the exit of the Dark Zone. And you can't be there hiding for a long time because then you will get killed automatically. What was it exactly that happened to you, Paris, when you did that?
No, I went too close to a checkpoint and a turret, automatic turret killed me. That's a safeguard that they put in to stop griefing, to stop spawn camping. Which is a nice little upgrade feature.
If you're rogue or a rogue in manhunt status, that happens. That's when the automatic turrets aim up on you.
Okay. Yeah, and that was a pretty cool experience, right? Our manhunt experience. And we completed it too. That was really cool. Yeah, I know that there was enemies there. Do you guys think it was challenging that having the enemies there or what? Like, compared to the first game for you guys?
I don't think the PvE component was as difficult. And I don't know if that was because we were already pre-specced and geared in the game. You know what I mean? We were fairly well leveled up. We were all level 30 with gear and with weapons and mods and things like that we could attach and affix to our individual guns. And I think because of that, it would have changed our personal experiences. When you normally play, the enemies are really bullet spongy, where you have to sit there and high focus on PvE. And then when the players come around, that just adds, you know, a bigger pound of difficulty. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that was a, I don't want to say a complaint, but a gripe with players, where enemies were very bullet spongy and it took away from the experience, where you shouldn't have to sit there and unload three clips each to take your opponent down before you have to worry about everybody else in your environment. So, and maybe that is a good and a bad thing, but we'll see in the final release. But I liked what I played. I would have maybe asked for them to ramp up the difficulty or the endurance of the enemies personally.
You feel the same way too, Paris?
Well, you mentioned the endurance of the enemies. We actually got a voicemail that was asking something similar to that. And I noticed with he was concerned about, you know, like the yellow bars just being full bullet sponges. Now that is something they've definitely tweaked in this. They aren't so bullet spongy, which is a good thing. There's a better time to kill. And they've kind of supplemented that with the yellow bars having that specific armor now on body parts. So, you know, you got to take out their chest armor and you got to take out their leg armor. So it feels more, it makes more sense when it takes a little longer to kill them versus killing the red bar and the purple enemies. So I thought that was fine. I mean, I didn't really have an issue with that. I thought it felt good. Again, being in a dark zone, I'm more concerned with the PvP engagements than I am necessarily the PvEs. But, you know, again, if you go watch some of our gameplay videos, I mean, you'll even see with the PvE characters, we had some full on engagements, which were really fun. So I don't know. I was fine with it.
Yeah, let's talk about having three different dark zones in the game instead of having just one, like in the last game. What are your thoughts about that? Because I think that was fine. And it felt like the area that we were at, it felt big. So having three, I think that's really, really cool, man. I like the idea that they did that.
Well, again, I think I like that there's three different zones because you're getting... There's going to be different play styles in those zones because there's different environments and they're going to have different things. Like I believe they said, like we were playing in DZ East and we played in DZ South, but they're saying that in DZ West potentially is going to be more sniper friendly. I was reading that somewhere. I think someone in one of the interviews with the devs asked that question. So that right there tells you you're going to have different loadouts and different ways to play the game when you're in these specific dark zones, which again, having the in-game dark zone rotate between the three of them, I think is intriguing. I like that. It's going to give you a different flavor every day when you log in and give you just different scenarios and things to do. I think the end of the day, what's going to happen is everything's going to be driven by loot, right? So how is the loot? Is the loot different in a particular dark zone? Is there a particular piece of gear or weapon that you get in DZ South that you can't get in DZ West? So is that going to be my incentive to go over there? So I hope they have those kind of scenarios in the game so that it's going to force me to have to engage in all three. Because let's just say I'm really good in DZ East because I like the layout and I know that map like the back of my hand. So we only go to DZ East. And we just get our loot from there. It's kind of boring, right? You want to have that variety that's forcing you to traverse between the three of them. And then, like I said, when you get to the end game, you know, also having that rotation is going to force you to go there as well because that's where the loot is. It's all, you know, it's like Biggie said, give me the loot. I got to go where the loot is, right? So hoping that's what happens with these three dark zones. And like I said, I like that. It's split up now versus like Pete was saying at the beginning, just one big giant dark zone that is static and never changes.
Yeah. The DZ East or Capital Train Station is supposed to be open and spacious. The DZ South, or I think it's called Waterfront, is supposed to be more focused towards, you know, close quarter combat. And then DZ West, I think, is where it happens in Georgetown. And that's more of a residential medium range type experience. So I would assume, and obviously don't quote me because this is just a speculation, but I would assume, and we'll take, you know, DZ South where it's more close quarter, you'll find SMGs, you'll find like the Vector, which was amazing. It just melted people. If you go to DZ East where it's more open and spacious, long sight lines, it's going to be more sniper based. So you're going to find, you know, like a Remington 700, or you're going to find like a DMR or something like that. And then going into Georgetown, that's where you'll start seeing like, you know, the M4, the SCARs, ACRs and things like that.
Yeah. My question I do have is about clans. Cause I know I asked the developers about it. Because, you know, playing Destiny, you know, there's people that have the PlayStation 4 version, PC version, or Xbox. But if we create a clan, we all could join in. But once we go online, you only will play with players from that console, right? Or from that version. So for the Division Two, do we have to create three different types of gamertag radio clans because everybody's doing? Everybody's going to have like their own version, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4, or is it all going to be connected to one? Because they didn't really answer my question when I asked them about that. Is it going to be all connected together or what?
If it plays like Destiny, it'll all be connected together, but obviously you can only play with the people that are on your particular platform, be it Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. They've also mentioned that, yeah, it'll be 50 players, but each player can have four different characters, you know, in the clan. So, I mean, obviously just do the math on that. So we're looking at like 200 max characters that you're going to have in a clan. So, I mean, I'm fine with it. There's more information to come on that. I mean, we'll see how this plays out. Clan support is going to be huge, especially when we start talking about the raids, which I'm sure we'll find out more information about that, you know, down the road. That wasn't what this event was about. But to me, that's going to be the big thing. It's going to be when we get to that end game content that they're going to put out. So even the end game Dark Zone, I think you're going to want to really be clanned up for that, so that you're consistently going to have people to be able to play with and group up with and go in. So I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to what their spin is going to be on the clan system. And hopefully there's going to be some unique perks, rewards, you know, for being a part of clan as well.
P, anything about that?
No, that's pretty much it. I like, considering how much Tony and Terry have been in online gaming, especially working at Red Storm Entertainment, you know, between titles like Rainbow Six and Ghost Recon, a lot of those titles have had a lot of time and history with clan support. You know, my history in gaming, Danny, when I first came on back, episode 95 or something like that at Gamertag Radio, playing online multiplayer shooters like Ghost Recon for, you know, as a competitive gamer, We wish we had tools like this back then, 10 plus years now. I'm glad to see that they're finally moving that forward and supporting that. And not just in a, oh, hey, you're in our team thing. You know, you get perks and vanity items. We'll have chat and bulletin boards and leaderboards and things like that. So I love the effort that they're putting towards it.
So I know the beta is coming out soon. What do you guys would like to see in the beta so other gamers could also get that same experience and send that feedback to the devs before the retail version comes out?
I just think kind of all the above. Obviously, everything that we got to play, maybe not all three Dark Zones, maybe just one. Put in, you know, a skirmish map and a domination map, and then just give us some early taste of the PvE of, you know, Washington DC as well. Maybe not all of Washington DC, but just, you know, a certain section of it as well. I mean, we weren't allowed to show the full map, you know, in any of our videos or anything, but I scaled out, saw what it looked like. It's pretty big playing space, PvE space. And, you know, just like the original Division, it is sectioned out into whatever various levels we are. So let's say they cap us at level 10, you know, we get to play in whatever that section is up to level 10. As far as the PvE goes, I think that'd be a nice little starter pack for the beta, you know, being the beta and giving people a taste of what they can expect, because I believe it is DZ East is the first one, the lower level one that you'll be able to encounter. I do believe, I could be mistaken. I don't have the video in front of me. But, yeah, let people go into DZ East and then let them explore around outside of that Dark Zone area, you know, in the PvE space. And then, like I said, just give us a couple of the PvP maps. I think that'll be fine.
I know when we went to the presentation at E3, the pre-E3 event, and they were talking about the end game. Should they add something to show a sneak peek of their end game in the beta?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Let that be a surprise for final buyers.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Don't attack me. I'm just asking a question. They're already attacking. What the hell? Cool. Anything else, man? Anything else about
PvP? We need to talk about PvP. Let's go with PvP. I'll tell you right now, I won't be playing it. I will not be playing. Nope. I won't be playing Skirmish or domination. It's not why I come to the division. I would rather there's other modes that are in the Division One that I'd rather have play those once they bring, because they won't be there day one. So when those come, you know, survival, underground, things like that, I would look more forward to that than I would to play skirmish, because if I'm going to play PvP, the division isn't where I'm going to go to play it. I still think there's an outside chance that they could bring a battle royale type mode to the division, but it won't be there day one. I'd be interested in that. Obviously, just kind of a spin on what they're already doing with survival. So that I'm fine with. But just doing just standard skirmish and domination, while we had fun, again, I'm not saying it's not fun. While I had fun playing it, if I want to do head-to-head PvP, the division isn't where I want to go. I would rather do the Dark Zone version of PvP, where it's a mixture of PvE, PvP, and you got your head on a swivel because you never know when a cat's going to come around the corner and go rogue.
Fair enough. Again, it's all player choice and option, right? And there's no right, wrong, or whatever answer for this. You know, I respect your decision. I see myself like you probably doing more PvPvE experiences, but I like that they've given this. I like that they've expanded upon what they did with the 1.9 update, or I think it was 1.6, where they started bringing in skirmish. But I like domination, and I'm curious if they're going to do more. With more, you know, with other modes, are they going to do a capture the flag? Are they going to do, you know, King of the Hill or what is it, a siege mode where you only get one life and, you know, you have to get, you have to kill everybody else and you're not just constantly respawning, or some kind of a ticket system where, or a respawn system where you only have a certain amount. I'm also curious because the Dark Zone leads or, you know, it plays perfectly for it. Do you think you'd be even attempts or hazards of BR? I know everybody's so sick of BR and Battle Royale and blah, 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 and every other game has it. But do you think that, I'm pretty sure that they've thought about it, but do you think they even hazard going in that direction?
Yeah, I do. That's what I was just saying previously. I can see a spin off of survival mode that would work perfectly, you know, for BR in the division. And to be clear on what you were just saying, if they were to spin off some of that PvP stuff into the modes that you just mentioned, I'd be more interested in checking it out. But again, I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to this. What is my loot incentive to go play PvP? If there's specific weapons or gear that I'm going to get from PvP that's going to help me do a raid or something like that, guess who's doing PvP? Me. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you want me to go into a mode that I don't necessarily want to play, give me a carrot on the end of the stick to make me go do it. And that goes for Destiny, Anthem, any of these type of games. It's about the loot. So if you have the loot that I want to go chase, then I'm going to go play that particular mode to go chase it.
Yeah, I had fun playing the PvP. The only issue that I was having was the drones. I think that was a little bit too difficult to kill it during the game. Do you guys, right? Do you guys agree with that or no?
The drones? I think that's just subjective.
It's just a bug.
Okay.
I mean, yeah,
That was the only issue.
I kind of talk about that a little bit when I just did my video impressions of. It isn't that assault drone is a bullet sponge, and it isn't that it's just OP and it's just destroying you on the field. It is an absolute annoyance that if you try to target it, it's so small and with a control, it's very hard to take down. I think on mouse and keyboard, it'd probably be a lot easier in its current form. And there was a bug where it was basically going invisible and you just couldn't even see it and it was still shooting you. So that's something they'll tweak, I'm sure. I think a lot of us at the event had that feedback for them. So probably even by the time beta comes out, I don't expect the assault drone to be that much of an annoyance.
Yeah. Question for you guys. And who do you think is working on the raid? Is it Red Storm or is it Massive?
I mean, we don't know.
I don't know. I don't think they've unveiled that.
Yeah, they haven't said either way. I mean, it's more of a PvE experience. So if it's one of those two studios, I would have to say it's probably Massive, just guessing. But who's to say there's not a third studio involved? Because you got to remember, Ubisoft ain't afraid to bring in the troops to work on their games. And we know this is true. And I do remember Julian Garrity, when we got to talk to him at E3, mentioning something about just his job of working with multiple studios, bringing things together. So it very well could be that there's a third studio.
All right. So launch date. I know you guys talked about it. My curiosity is, considering 1.8 technically just came out, you know, very recently.
Yeah.
How long has Massive and everyone else been working on the Division 2 while simultaneously possibly working on the 1.8 and the progression, you know, the progression of updates?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, the Division as a team is 6 studios strong. It's Massive, it's Red Storm, it's Reflections, mm-hmm. it's Ubisoft NC, it's Ubisoft Sofia, it's Bucharest, it's Paris with editorial support. This is a big, big team. It's a logistical nightmare to get it. And that's not my job, right? I've got the easy job in the production creative director couple, but it's a tough, tough nightmare to work out who's working on what. 1.8 was Red Storm's baby, right? Mm. So Red Storm worked on that super hard while, you know, the Massive was working on just the conception of the Division 2. The Division 2 started the day that we finished the Division 1. We already knew we had certain things that we wanted to explore and push forward. So we've been working on it in parallel. Hardest thing I've ever done in my 20-year career in video games. It's balancing, okay, live plus the Division 2. It's a challenge, but it's fun, man. This is what keeps me alive, you know? I'm 62 years old. No, I'm not.
Wow.
It keeps me young. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps everybody on their toes. And I think it's a great challenge for me.
Just specifically working on the raid. I'll even say this. I actually hope so. I would love it if Red Storm's job is to get the PvE, not the PvE, excuse me, the PvP and the dark zone stuff. Massive's job has been to build out the entire world in the PvE portion of it. And then there's your third studio that all they're doing is building raids. Oh, I would love that, because that would mean that that's their singular focus and they're not distracted away from anything else. That's all they're doing. And again, I'll use the Bungie analogy. Bungie has a team specifically that's all they do is build raids, right? So I hope there's another studio that's all they're doing. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I think that would be smart if they do that. I think that was very, very smart. Anything else besides, I know we talked about PvE, PvP, a little bit about raid, not much, but just anything else?
Well, I'll just say from my point of view again, I really enjoyed what we got to play. I really did. I feel like this is a nice fine tuning of what the original Division Dark Zone was, and the splitting it up into 3 zones and giving us different environments to play in, and just the verticality, like I mentioned before about it. You know, we didn't really deep dive too much into the weapons or anything. I know I was just more about just playing versus getting real nitpicky with the weapons and the gear and the special skills that you get as well, which we didn't even talk about that at all. I wasn't even thinking about to use that stuff till we got towards the end of playing. I know Marco's style, he's already deep dived into all that stuff. Yeah. So I would suggest going to his YouTube channel, checking out his videos, because I mean that's what he does. That's not necessarily my forte, jumping into that stuff. But I'm looking forward to the beta to get a little more deep dive on some of that stuff, really start nitpicking some of the weapons, get a good feel. Like the Vector, as an example, wind up being my go-to while we were playing. I was really loving that, but I want to, you know, try out some of the other weapons and see how they work, some of the different skills that you can use. Like I said, we talked about the assault drone. There's even the turrets, just other things, the hive bomb thing. What are they called? See, I'm so bad this morning with names. I'm being terrible. But just the other different, you know, optimized skill things that you can use. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for the potential of what the Division 2 can be, because it really does seem that they're building off of all the goodwill that they've gotten here towards the end of the original Division 1. It just seemed to be a logical step. I even had a friend of mine, a fellow content creator, ask me about the Division 2, because he hadn't played a Division 1 in so long. He goes, "Can I just pick up the controller and go and play?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's really how it felt with me. I felt like I picked up the controller. It had that familiarity of the Division 1, jump right into the Division II, but there was enough little tweaks and changes that I noticed the difference picking it up in a Division II, but it was easy to go in and just start playing. I didn't have to completely relearn the game all over again. So again, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I think overall, I love the location. There's more places to go. I feel like it's more open compared to the New York City version. In New York City, I feel like I was trapped in a big city inside of a bubble. And I didn't feel that way with this version. I feel like there's so many places to go.
I disagree with that because in the Division 2, there's going to be three disparate areas, like similar to the DZ zones, where you're going to have open expansive areas that are, you know, more open sight lines. You're going to have close constrictive buildings and urban commercial districts. You're going to have residential areas where it's more medium range. So I don't know if maybe that answers your question, but I can see how you would feel, you're closed in because you've got all these tall buildings and with minimal opportunity for scaled. The Division One did have a lot of up and down, but I think this one's going to have a lot more.
Okay. All right. So, guys, everybody listening, make sure to head over to GamerTagWare.com and also send us your questions, feedback. I know we have voicemails, but we're probably going to save that for another episode then. I think it was overall a great event, man. I had a great time. Look, if you watch any of our videos, you hear us laughing, enjoying this, cracking up the whole time, man, from start to finish, man. I can't wait for the beta to finally come out, man. Really, really excited for that, man.
So February 7th?
February 7th, yeah. So you could go right now and register to get a beta. But if you want to guarantee that you're getting the beta for sure, then you have to pre-order of the game. And that's for sure you will get it, 100%. So pre-order right now. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. Until next time.
You just ended it, huh? You just ended it.
All right, go for it. What are you going to say?
I just want to say really quick that this week I'll be traveling to somewhere and I'll be playing a game somewhere that I've been very critical of the past few months, and I'm excited to play it so I can finally start talking about it. And if you think about it, you'll know exactly what it is, but I'm not going to say it on the podcast. So here you go.
Somewhere.
You already said it.
I found out I wasn't really supposed to be saying that.
Handsome.
I'm not in trouble because other people have, but I just won't mention it anymore.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Good job.
Yep. Right. So I want to thank those people to allow me to come out and play that game. I think it's going to be great because I will be fair, but I'm going to be honest about what I think, which is exactly what they want. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. What about you, Pete? Have you been breaking the NDA too?
No, apparently it's only been you two. Spoiler Pete has not shown his face, so thankfully.
Yeah. All right, man. All right, well, we're gonna wrap it up here. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.